and open with one verse this morning in Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, one psalm. It says, right there. Yeah, right up there. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures evermore. Amen? In his presence is fullness of joy. Stand with me if you want. And Lord, we're going to praise you. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for all you've done for us. I pray your Holy Spirit be with us today, Lord. Guide us. Continue to guide us. Continue to lead us, Lord. We're to praise you and thank you for all that you do. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
History, your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness. All over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment. All over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I am weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. Oh, I see the evidence of your goodness all over. All over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life.
I see your promises.
I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. See the cross, see the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless.
all my sin rolled away. Because of you, oh Jesus, I see the cross, the empty grave. The evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away. Because of you, oh Jesus, oh, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life.
I see
your
promises,
I see your promises in fulfillment. All over my life, all over my life. I see the evidence of your goodness. All over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment. All over my life. Why should I fear? The evidence is here. Why should I fear? The
higher, you are the only king forever, forevermore. You
Your kingdom has no end. We lift our banner high. We lift the name of Jesus. From age to age you reign.
Let's sing it again. We lift our banner high.
We lift our banner high. We lift the name of Jesus. From age to age you reign. Your kingdom has no end.
We lift
our banner high. We lift the name of Jesus. From age to age you reign. Your kingdom has no end. 'Cause you are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore. You are victorious, you are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Almighty Lord, we are victorious. Victorious, you are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Almighty Lord, you are victorious.
As you are, Lord.
Thank you.
amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. I know it's true.
It's my joy.
It's my joy to all.
King would die for me.
joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Your life is his song. Your life is his poem. Your life is his life. His life is our life. Thank you, Lord, we have the victory.
Our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
And time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion.
Hey,
name of
worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great
is our God. songs ago, or last song, all I could think about was Esther, who came from nowhere, but God had a purpose and plan in her life. And the Holy Spirit was the one who dressed her. They were able to wear whatever they wanted before the king, but she said to the servant, who was the type of the Holy Spirit, "You dress me, you know what the king likes." What's so beautiful about that? She did have a great purpose to save a nation. But the problem was, even though she was queen, if the king didn't put his scepter up for her to come before him, she would be put to death, because it says here in 4:11, who has not been called by the king, he has but one law: put all to death except the one to whom the king holds his golden scepter, that he may live. And you know, she didn't know what he was going to do, but she knew she had a call from God. And she was obedient to the call. And it says that Queen Esther found favor in the sight of the king. And you know what, I want to tell you this. Our King of Kings will never hold back his favor. He will never reject us, ever. We can go before him without fear and trembling, without death, because he took death. He said to Esther, and he says to us today, "What do you wish? What is your request? It shall be given to you." Do you have something that you want the Lord to do? He says, "What do you wish?" And he did it for her. And he'll do it for us. Do you know not one person in the nation of Israel died at the hand of Haman, the enemy, because of Esther's boldness to go before the throne of the king? And today, we can go boldly to the throne of our king. Why? Because of his loving kindness, because of his grace. And so today, as we look at the bread, it is his body broken for us. You see, there's healing right here. He's come to make us whole. And as we partake of his body, his life, his healing. Beloved, we know in this church that it is not a ritual. We know that it is what God has ordained his beloved to do, is to partake of him by his blood and by his body. And so, Lord, we look to your body that was broken for us. We say thank you. We are grateful, and we remember what your broken body did at Calvary for us. So as we partake, Remember, you're standing before the King of all kings. He will never lose his power. Amen. He will never fall off the throne.
Amen.
He is the King forever.
Yes.
Forever.
Amen.
There's one King. That's the King of all kings. And we get to partake of his body who lives in us. Let's eat. Amen.
How great
I hear the Lord say,
is our God.
But I've went
sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. All will see.
There's some prophetic symbolism in this room. I don't know if you noticed, but I remember Rahab this morning as I see that red cord, that red scarf, as she dropped it against the wall and they saved her life because of that. It is a symbolic, prophetic symbolism to us. For the blood of Jesus. You know, she was the Gentile. She wasn't Jewish, she was a Gentile who was a prostitute that God had a purpose in her life and redeemed her because the blood washes away forever. Past, present, and future, all of our sins. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. That's who he calls. He calls the hurting, he calls the broken. That's who he calls. He found me. He chose me, he chose you. And today, we remember, I mean, David was a murderer. I can go right down the list. We can find each other in those places. But God found us. And it was his blood, his precious blood, that redeemed us forever. He'll never, ever reject you, ever. His love is unconditional. I can only relate to that with my own child. No matter what he does, he's mine. My love will never lose its power for my son. Yet it's even greater than that. You know, those things in the old covenant are for our learning. Let's never forget Rahab. We'll meet her one day. Huh? Who would have thought that he would have chose her? Who would have thought that he would have chose me or you? Who would have thought? Amen? But he created us in his image, and he will do the work. We can't change ourselves. That's called self-righteousness. That's his filthy rags. But he makes us with his righteousness. And that's the changing force. When we, oh, beloved, grasp that truth of his righteousness, he makes us right. There's nothing we can do. We can't earn it ever. We just have to receive his love. And he will never, ever reject us. Ever. So, Lord, open that. Lord, we take our cup. You know, my favorite word is remember. When you remember all the things he has done for us, that's a powerful, powerful word that he gave us, a memory. It's powerful. It's revelational. When you remember what he did in the past, you can bring it right forward into the now. And that faith that was from the past will come right here, and he'll do it again. That's the power of remembrance. I remember the first day that I gave my life to Jesus. Can you? I remember. It came by surprise. I was so self-righteous. I was religious. There's a difference, beloved. There's a difference between being religious and having relationship with Jesus. What a difference. Because we have a relational God. He just wants to hang out with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to tell us his secrets because we're his family. My family knows my secrets. They know where my checkbook is. They know where the key to the house is. That's who we are. Beloved, we live in the palace. We sit at his table continually, just like Mephibosheth, adopted in. He was fatherless, Mephibosheth, but there was a covenant, just like today, the new covenant. He had a covenant with Mephibosheth's father. He said, keep this covenant not just between me and you, David, but between my children and my children's children. Let this covenant last forever. And that's what we have today. The covenant, the new covenant by his blood. Let's partake. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that will never lose its power.
Fall short.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to be in the Amplified today pretty much most of the time. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7. Verse 4 says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness.'" Whew. That's so powerful. "And he's the one who has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory and majesty of God, clearly revealed in the face of Christ." Verse 7 says, "But we have this precious treasure You know who the precious treasure is? You. Say, it is me. It is you. It is us. The good news about salvation in unworthy earthen vessels of human frailty, so that the grandeur and surpassing greatness of the power will be shown to be from God, His sufficiency, and not from ourselves. Earthen vessels, that's what we are. But we're His treasure. You know, you are God's treasure. You are God's trophy, actually. And you are God's dream. He created us to be who we are in Him. And when we were saved by faith in Jesus Christ, we experienced a new birth. How many had a new birth in Christ? Amen. How many had one, but now you have two? You have a new birth, a spiritual birth. You have a new nature, a new status, a new positional place in Jesus. Many have called this new place a grace place. And even though we've done nothing to earn it, that's what I like about it. Do nothing to earn it. It's a free gift. Freely you have been given. Freely you have received. Freely give. And we are accepted in the Beloved. We are loved by our Heavenly Father with the same love that the Father has for His dearly beloved Son. The same love that He loved Jesus, He loves you. The same love that He loved Jesus. I put you on a higher tier than sometimes you put yourself on. The same love that He had for Jesus, He has for you. And He pursues us with grace and love, encompasses us with favor, and honors us with the very blessings His perfect Son deserves. And this never changes. It's always there every day for you, this love. Every day. Say, every day I am loved. Every day I am God's treasure. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Did you ever go to somebody's house and see all the family pictures? Where do you look on it? You look on the refrigerator. They're all on there. Some have magnets and some have tape and some are just hanging there. And this never changes. It's our identity in Christ for all of eternity. The enemy of our souls has been defeated at the cross. 1 John 3, 8b, Hebrews 2:14. And yet the kingdom of darkness has gotten a lot of mileage in a fallen world, but we tend to run into trouble anywhere we are not connected to God. But the finished work of the cross has great meaning for us as His treasured vessels that we are, His treasured vessels. And God always has a surpassing greatness for us, both now and in the future. Love has always been the answer. Because God is a person. Amen? Let's go to 1 John. 1 John 4, verses 8 and 9. The one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know Him, for God is love. And He's the originator of love and is an enduring attribute of His nature. Verse 9, by this the love of God has displayed in us, was displayed. By this the love of God was displayed in us, in that God has sent His one and only begotten Son, the one who is truly unique and the only one of His kind, into the world so that we might live through Him. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, one verse, verse 8, first three words, love never fails. Love never fails. Amen? God wants to transform us and overhaul us. How many know what an overhaul is? He wants to transform us and overhaul our bodies, our families, our lives, and our legacies into something overwhelmingly powerful and strikingly beautiful. Turn with me, if you can, to Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4, amplified. Through skillful and godly wisdom, a house, a life, a home, a family is built. I'll say it again. Through skillful and godly wisdom, a house, a life, a home, a family is built. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. And by knowledge, its rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. God in Christ has triumphed so that we can triumph in this life as well. Because it's time for all of us to see the beauty. Look around. The beauty of his treasure, because we're his treasure. You're his treasure. He only thinks good thoughts about you. He never thinks evil thoughts about you. He always thinks good thoughts about you, always. He only wants the best for you, always. You believe that? I do. You know, God is good all the time. Some people struggle with that, but God is good all the time. You know, you can't discredit that. See, Jesus knew about suffering, so he admonished his disciples and us to listen to his word in John 16. Let's go there. Verse 32 and 33. Take careful notice, it says. An hour is coming and has arrived when you will all be scattered, each of his own home, from his own home, leaving me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. But I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you will have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world, and my conquest is accomplished. My victory is abiding. See, the true nature of God has been veiled by the law and the spirit of legalism, religion that operates through it. But Jesus came when he died. He came to tear the veil that separated us from him, symbolized by the Jewish temple veil that was torn at his crucifixion. Another scripture I want to share with you here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17, it says, but to this day, whenever Moses is read, Old Covenant, Old Testament, a veil of blindness lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns in repentance and faith to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom, emancipation from bondage, true freedom. Amen? True freedom. And as a matter of a greater truth, Jesus is so good that he allowed his flesh to be torn so we could enter into union with God. And the freedom that comes with it. There's so many good things. It's like the scriptures are so full of good news. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, believers, since we have confidence and full freedom to enter the holy place, the place where God dwells by means of the blood of Jesus, and by this new and living way which he initiated and opened for us, through the veil, as in the Holy of Holies, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great and wonderful priest who rules over the house of God, let us approach God with a true and sincere heart, in unqualified assurance of faith, having had our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. And let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds. Amen. Verse 25, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and an instruction, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. How many see his day coming soon? How many, Jesus said he was coming back soon? Amen? But don't be misled. Warning, warning. God is completely and utterly good, and he will never change. He cannot be otherwise at any time, because God is love. That's his very nature, his very character. And we read earlier, love never fails. So God can't fail you. Never. Never will. No matter what you go through. So we're living in a new time right now. The church is starting to look different. How many notice the church is starting to look different? You see it looking different because the lines of our denominations are being blurred. Greg Laurie is a SBC guy, Southern Baptist boy. And there's a lot of other people that are Pentecostals, and some people are Lutherans, and some are Catholics, and some are this, and some are that, and some are, and everybody's starting to come together. The crusade is about all of us together. It doesn't matter about our labels of how we label ourselves. And God is preparing for his sons and daughters to be ready for the big harvest that the world has ever seen. Just this week alone on social media and the news, there were at least 15 universities that are experiencing revival and awakenings of young people giving their lives to Christ, even through football teams. There was a football team on yesterday that the whole team went into the end zone and knelt down and prayed together before the game. Man, got to be awake. Got to see it. Amen? Something's happening. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. I told you last Sunday I had a dream. I had a dream about these scriptures right here that I'm going to share with you. Luke 5, it's not really anything I have to share, but we're going to read it a little bit here. And I'm going to conclude pretty soon here. Luke 5, verses, I think, 1. One through 11. Now it happened that while Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding all around him and listening to the word of God, that he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little distance from the shore. And he sat down and began teaching the crowds from the boat. Why do you think he did that? Because the sound of the lake had an ability to make his voice travel farther than just standing on land. You don't think Jesus, the creator of all things, knows physics, knows these things? You have to understand something about Jesus. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he defied physics. He was able to walk through walls. He was able to walk on water. He defied physics in his whole life. And he expects us to do the same. But you can't do it unless you believe. Because that's how it happens. But it's able to be done. And he sat down and taught. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, who was named Peter, he says, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch of fish. And what was Simon's reply to the master? Next verse, verse 5. We worked hard all night. And I'm sure he didn't say it simply. I think he said it with a strong emphasis. To the point of exhaustion, and caught nothing in our nets. But, at your word, I will do as you say and lower the nets again. You don't think they grumbled? They just washed all their nets. Not an easy job for a fisherman. And when they had done this, verse 6, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were at the point of breaking. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats with fish so that they began to sink. Did you ever wonder how Jesus knew where the fish was? He didn't have to use a drone. That's what they're doing today in ocean fishing. They're using drones to go out and find the fish. They sight them with a drone. They take the boat to the site, and that's how they catch the fish. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all his companions were completely astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon Peter. Jesus said to Simon, "Have no fear, for from now on you will be catching men." I bet you at that point he was shaking in his boots. How do you catch men? Amen. And after that, they had brought their boats to land. They left everything and followed him, becoming his disciples, believing and trusting in him and following his example. So what am I saying, and why am I saying this? Launch out into the deep. Ask Jesus to show you what this means for you. What is he saying to you about this launch out into the deep? I think he's asking us to do something we've never done before, or pray for something we've never prayed before. Just like with the Harvest Crusade that's at the university coming up on November 16th at 6 o'clock, we should be praying that God will bring a big harvest of souls in. Because who knows? We don't know who's going to be there, but God does. And we don't know who's going to get saved, but God does. But we could pray for that to happen. We can agree in prayer with them and believe that God's going to do something out of the extraordinary for this great harvest that is going to be happening. Because the kingdom of God is here with us and working through us. And the Spirit of God is releasing his emerging ecclesia, the church. Ecclesia is the Greek word for church. To shift into the new day to be the first responders to his voice. And we are clearly living in one of the greatest seasons in history as God is releasing an extraordinary shift in the earth. Let's get ourselves ready for this awe-inspiring move of God's glory. I don't know about you. When I see it on TV, what's going on TV, I get excited. I stand up. I start praising the Lord. I start praying. And I start saying, "More, Lord, more, Lord, more universities." Because it's not all of them, amen? But there's an urgency in this time to fully prepare ourselves as the bride of Christ to fulfill our God-given mandate as mature believers in Christ, ready for a great harvest. We will be those who enjoy the secret place with him alone. See, our Bible is a strategic guide for the body of Christ as we run full speed ahead into all that God has for us. Our Bibles are a must read for us as all of us, as we advance the kingdom and shine bright the light of Jesus in our everyday lives. And without many even knowing it, we have entered into the new kingdom age where the impossible will become possible and common, and we are here now. We have not just entered a new day, but rather a new season, a time in the kingdom of God. And this season is one in which a series of years is reckoned. We are in a new kingdom age in which the church is realizing something has changed. And in this new kingdom age, we will be declaring, and it will happen. And some new things we will see take place are taking place even now. We're going to see an acceleration of increase and blessings into our lives. And when we're blessed, we can give more away. When you have a plentiful abundance, you're able to give more. So you should be praying, God, fill my cup to overflowing. Keep a heart that is teachable. You have to maintain your heart so that it remains teachable. Regardless of offenses that come your way, you have to keep your heart teachable and open. And we're living in a new season of suddenlies and the unexpected in God. You got to be ready for sudden. Suddenly means you're not prepared. He is not prepared for what he's going to do. He's just going to show up and he's going to do something that's going to change everything about you. Amen? A tidal wave of his glory is here. Be intentional to remember. Stay focused. Guard your heart. Another thing, stay in your lane. I say that because I use that for don't compare yourself to another person. Because our tendency is to say, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not like them. I'm not big like them. I don't have 30,000 coming to my, events. It doesn't, if there's 5 or 10, Jesus said, if 2 or more gather in my name, I'm in the midst. Amen. I used to be stuck in all that, but I'm not. I divorced myself from church growth mindsets. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. So I'm cool. Let the Lord build the house. Amen. And study and understand stewardship at every level, starting with yourself, being a good steward. There's power in generosity. There's power in giving. There's power in it, greater than anything you could ever know. We will see a new focus on faith and a new level of normal. And God is releasing a heavenly wisdom and understanding coupled with counsel and might. Matthew 25, I want you to, if you can go there, if you have your Bibles, I don't know if you do or not, but in the Amplified, it says the parable of 10 virgins. That's what it says in the Amplified. But most Bibles don't say that. It says parable of the wise and foolish virgins. It says the parable of the 10 virgins. It doesn't say what there's foolish, and it doesn't say there's wise. I'm going to talk about that because I don't believe that God... See, if God is good all the time, why did he reject 5 virgins? Because he's not good all the time if he rejected 5 virgins. Come on. No, that's not true. They were good. They were all good. I believe if they all went to the marriage supper of the Lamb, that moment, if they all went, if they had oil or no oil, they would have got in. All they had to do was be ready and realize it's not by their righteousness or their self-righteousness of doing something that gets them in. It's about trusting and believing that God has my back at all times. And even if I'm lacking in something, he will take care of me all the time because God is good all the time. He's good all the time. Even when I fail, he's good to me. Even when I miss the mark, he's good to me. Because none of us in this room are perfect after we know Jesus. None of us. We're all a work in progress. And we have days that we just, sometimes we mess up. It doesn't stop him from accepting us in the beloved. He loves us the same. I don't know about you guys, but since I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, my oil never runs out. I don't have to go buy it at the market to get it. It's in me. I have a 7-fold river of oil flowing out of me at all times. It never runs dry. Amen. It never runs dry. God is good all the time. And he ain't going to reject you if you trip up or mess up or don't have enough oil because you have oil. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're full of the oil of God. Amen. If you've been born again, you have oil. You have oil at all times.
How great is our God,
2 Corinthians 13:11, 12, 13, and 14 says, finally, believers, rejoice. Be made complete. Be what you should be. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. Enjoy the spiritual well-being experienced by believers who walk closely with God. And the God of love and peace, the source of loving kindness, be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people greet you. In the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Amen.